And welcome to Talking in Stations, a podcast about EVE Online. I'm your host, Ron USMC, joined by my loyal partner in crime, Silver Suspiria.
Hey everyone, how are you?
And still no Artemis, so you know, we're here by a string and a prayer. Tonight we have a couple of great guests for you. Darius Caliente of the United Nation of Conifers, like one of my favorite alliance names, man. The Pinecone Squad. How you doing, Darius?
Good. How you doing?
Good, man. Good. And we're also joined by Martin Lockhart of Hardly Competent. And you have a really interesting story, I think, that we'll get into. But how are you, Dan?
I've been doing good. Thank you.
Right on, man. Right on. So what do you think, Silver? Start with Darius?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So, you know, so Darius said, you know, of course, in the streaming world, I saw you streaming that great 25-hour stream, but everyone kept talking about all of the stuff you were giving away. So I thought it was super interesting, but if you could kind of give us you know, the lowdown on why you did it and what it was about and kind of, you know, some of the highlights of the stream.
Sure. This was my fifth year doing Extra Life. It's got a lot of meaning to me. I spent some time in a sick kids hospital when I was younger. I had a brain tumor removed. My little cousin is, you know, I'm going to see her next week when she comes up for another visit at Sick Kids, the hospital I was playing for. So she's in Toronto a lot. So there's just, it's a great place that does a lot of good for a lot of people that need it. And one of the cool things about Sick Kids is that they don't just raise money to help out, you know, in the community and in Canada, but they actually have an international program where they bring in, you know, sick kids from around the world who can't get treatment in the country they're in. Where either medicine isn't advanced enough or they don't have the techniques and tools, they'll actually bring them to Canada to treat them, which I think is really cool. And the first time I heard about Extra Life actually was when Buck Million from Rook Capel did the stream. He used to do Suicide Supers and raise a lot of money. And I took part in it 1 year. Back when I was flying with Rote, and it was really cool, and decided with a buddy the next year to do it. And so, yeah, 5 years later, 6 years later, because I missed a year, still doing it, still hating myself at the end of the 25 hours, but still loving every minute of it.
Yeah, man, 25 hours is long, dude, especially like the older you get. You know, it's like I always see like the really young guys like doing the 25, oh yeah, 30 hours. And I'm just like, man, shit, I don't know about all that, man. Like,
dude, it
seems like it'd drag on about hour 10. Like, I'm good, yeah, man.
I'm good to about usually 15, 20 hours even. That's when I really start to feel it. I work in computer security. And so once a month, we do 24 hours straight. So I do it on a somewhat regular basis that my body's slightly adjusted to it, but I'm in my late 30s and it's getting harder and harder every month when I do it. And adding an extra one is just killer on the body.
I can imagine.
So, you know, so what I heard about, you know, and this was, you know, people like couldn't stay for whatever giveaway, but I heard you were giving away a Nyx or some other things, or what kind of giveaways did you do?
Yeah, dude, we, thank you to everybody who helped provide donations, by the way. A member of my alliance gave us an Erebus skin worth a couple bill. A guy from P-Horde sent us 8 bill to buy a Marshall, and we bought the Sorrow skin to go with it. Sort Dragon sent me 10 billion ISK to help recoup some of the costs that came out of my wallet. I think we gave away about 50 billion ISK. Nyx was one of the big ones, the Marshall and skin. Every $500 or so raised, we would abyssal roll an officer mod and give it away. A full set of casino skins. Streamfleet provided the casino icky skin and the casino or the guild claw icky skin. And so we gave those both away, and some other people had provided ISK that we bought the other casino skins with. And it was just, it was a stack of skins, a stack of officer mods, a couple of big ships, really whatever we could come up with to throw people.
Oh man, you had me at skins, dude. I love that stuff, dude. That's like 80% of the reason I play.
Amen. I have a hard time actually sometimes. Like last year somebody sent over a Blood Raider victory skin to give away Stream Fleet again then, and even this year I look at them and I'm like, oh man, I wish I had that skin in game. And it's almost hard to raffle it off and know that I don't have an entry in that raffle.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's the only place, that's the only time, you know, if someone gives me a skin to give away on stream, what I do really quick is just inject it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even, like, talk about it. Like, if you send me a skin, I'll just inject it really quick. And they'll say, hey, that was for a giveaway. I'm like, dude, what? It's already, I'm sorry, man. It's already my character, dude. I don't know what to do, man.
It was an accident, man.
Well, that's awesome, dude, man. I'm so happy that it worked out really well, and I know that it got really great feedback from everyone, and everyone really enjoyed themselves. So, good job, dude. Like, I'm glad you enjoyed it, and I'm glad it's only once a year, I guess.
Yeah, no, I had said if I got 5,000, I would start streaming regularly, and so my body's glad I didn't make 5,000. My heart is sad. But my body is definitely glad that I didn't get that far. But I mean, it was an incredible experience. I mean, we had one guy from my alliance offer to do donation matching up to $500. And so he set a 2-hour window on it. And at the end of the 2 hours, we'd raised $500. So he threw in 500 of his own. We had an anonymous donation of 500. We had Init, we had Deadco, we had Horde, all bringing amazing fights. I mean, everyone was just super cool, super chill, and gave us such an awesome experience.
Yeah, it's really fantastic when everyone takes it as it is and participates and chimes in. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, it was. That's, I always love to hear about that stuff, man. It's always, you know, the community is always so great to rally around, you know. And I don't know, I always love that because I always, you know, put the game, you know, is separate. You know, like I have my like in-game people I hate or whatever, but out of game I, you know, get along with everyone. So I always love hearing about that stuff.
Yeah, I was there were a couple of people who popped in and they're like, wait, Darius, you're doing this? You're like one of the biggest assholes around. Are you sure this is you doing this? And I'm like, yeah, this is who I am outside of the game.
Yeah, and that alliance name, dude, that it always cracks me up because it's all like tree related, right? Like
yeah,
you're the pine cone squad or something, and it's all the conifers, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're the pine cone squad, and our friends in No Vacancies call us conies. But yeah, I mean, it started out just a buddy of mine was huge into pine cones, and I was flying with him, and he's like excited, and he's like, let's go do high sec war decks. And I was like, sure, let's leave. And he's like, but I want to name the corp. It has to be Pinecone related. And so Pinecone Squad just kind of came out of that discussion. An alt corp of ours was Blue Pine Logistics. And so when we needed a new alliance name, because we were originally Tribes of Poitot and it didn't fit when we moved into a wormhole, we're like, well, conifers, it's got to be something with that, with these two corps. So United Federation of Conifers, UFC, just kind of stuck, and it worked.
I love it. And your logo is awesome too.
Thank you. Shout out to Vic Jefferson for that logo. He made that.
I like how you really kind of glanced over. He was really into pine cones. Like, that's just something, you know, that's just,
it's,
oh, I like chess, backgammon, and pine cones. Like, that's just,
how do we put this? It was probably an obsession not suitable for the show. Let's put it there.
Well, there we go. All right. So,
and there it is.
Yeah, there we go. Awesome, man. So Darius, you can bail if you want, but please, dude, feel free to hang out, man. And,
thank you.
We're going to talk about some stuff. Yeah.
Thanks for having me. I'm going to bail. We have a node war ongoing and my corp is yelling at me, but thank you for the time and thank you for letting me be here.
No, good luck,
sir. Awesome. All right. So now, you know, the next story is actually kind of it's really interesting because, and I think it kind of touches on, you know, Silver's kind of experience with, you know, null sec, low sec kind of thing. So, so kind of, if you could kind of set the stage with like, what is hardly competent, right? So hardly competent, is your group, right? Martin is your corporation and,
hardly competent mm-hmm. is our alliance actually.
Okay. So hardly competent is the alliance. And about how many people are in it?
I'd say we have about 400 plus characters, you know, and then, that probably balances out to about, you know, 150, 170, mm-hmm. maybe 200 people, alts and all that.
So kind of give us like the story of how you guys came about, where you're living now and that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, whenever we really first started, I started recruiting for my corporation. It was just after the high sec war changes. And it seemed like a really good time to actually, you know, start recruiting. Just because in the past, I'd actually tried to grow a corporation in the past years ago. And wars always got us. New members would join. We'd take in newbies a lot of times. You know, they get pretty crushed by not being able to do anything without being attacked. So the war changes were really a good opportunity to start growing. And initially, we were just going to be high sec based. I was just like, hey, you know, let's start just a community of friendly people, you know, have fun, play the game, mine, do PvE, which is kind of ironic considering where we've ended up at this point. So basically we, you know, started doing that. We put up an Athanor and high sec, started moon mining a little bit and, met another corporation, called Blacklight Operations. And they're actually still with us, but we talked to them a bit and they were like, yeah, you know, we came out of NullSec. We really want to go back eventually. And I talked to my guys and I was like, hey, you know, do we want to make NullSec a long-term goal of ours? Our guys were interested, you know, not interested in jumping into anything, prematurely, but they were interested in trying for it. So, we talked with Blacklight. We agreed to form an alliance. That alliance was called, Blackheart Syndicate originally. And so we, you know, started growing. We reached out to other corporations, pulled a few more people in, you know, told them we were looking at NullSec long-term, just, you know, working our way up, starting from high sec and just trying to get the funds that we needed to start moving eventually. And, so we kept growing. Eventually we ended up in a high sec war. You know, you're not totally war-proof. Our holding corp eventually got decked and, we had people start taking down structures. So we eventually decided, okay, cool. Well, you know, these guys that we're up against have sworn to completely obliterate us. So, you know, let's see what our options are. And we reached out to a few friends.
Who's those guys? You said that.
Blackheart Syndicate, ironically. They were, smaller wormhole corporation. And they got their alliance involved as well. So they had, you know, some good C5 money behind that. They, you know, they did a good job. They came in, they fought us. We had some friends come up and help us. Actually, whenever we first did the big fight, our first big fight in high sec defending our structures, the changes to remote repping had already gone through. And so what happened is, even though we had friends who had entered the war on our behalf, we actually couldn't rep each other, even though they were technically in the war with us.
I've experienced that very same problem. And I think
that was...
Yeah,
I was waiting for you, Silver, to
chime in on that. This is why I will never go back to high sec and participate in those wars again, because that's just broken, in my opinion.
For sure.
We got surprised by that same mechanic. It needs looking at, but anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's the thing. Like, when we first went up, we had the numbers, the ship types, and everything to manage it. And then our logi just started dropping, and people were, in voice were just like, hey, I can't rep so-and-so. One person actually had their safety set to red and got Concorded. It was just rough. Fun stuff. But so we eventually decided, all right, cool. Well, you know, we've got some friends, some people that we can work with in LOSEC. So they offered to, you know, let us go over there. We moved into the Sagain pocket, nice little spot, not too far from Ammar, had an ice belt, all that kind of stuff, some more moon mining opportunities. So we were like, all right, cool. Well, let's get our guys used to at least a little bit of danger, since they're all, you know, everyone's used to being high sec based. So we shifted into low sec, into the Sagain pocket, camped gates, mined. Eventually, we had Snuff come after us at one point looking for content. or really? At least it was weird. You know, so it was a corporation in Snuff that was looking for content, and he had had just a friend of his, you know, basically point us out and recommend that he come attack us. So they did. They came through.
Which corp and Snuff? Just curious.
I can't remember their name off the top of my head, to be honest.
That's probably they were, for the they best, were a little to bit be smaller. To hell with them.
Yeah.
So, you know, they showed up and everything. They seized our structure. We showed up. We had removal that we were friends with, and Domain Research and Mining brought a few people as well. And so we showed up for the armor timer. There was a Thera wormhole that had spawned right next to Snuff HQ. So they brought in their T3 fleet. You know, so we ended up having to back off, and we eventually negotiated with them just to, you know, surrender and everything. And it was around that time that we also, you know, decided to kind of reevaluate things. We had grown a good bit. We had a pretty solid core set of corporations with us. And so we decided to go ahead and change our name. And that was around August, I believe. And so now that's why we are hardly competent at this point. So we kind of took the loss. It took the acknowledgement that we were all really bad at PvP for the most part. You know, decided to kind of turn that on its head and make it into a little bit more of a battle cry. So,
yeah. I mean, dude, loss depends on different things, right? Like, it doesn't mean that you're bad, right? Like, you know, you could just not have enough numbers, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
And you're just going to get blobbed, right? And you're just going to lose, and it's not a big deal, you know?
Or you could be outclassed, right?
I mean, yeah.
Snuff just outclassed you. Yeah, we went through that. Yeah. There's nothing you can do about that, right?
Oh, no, absolutely. But, you know, we were also aware, we have a lot of people who are, who were at the time, a lot newer to PvP. Lots of people who had just lived in HiSec for a long time, you know, just now getting into it. So we're pretty honest and about where we stand on the totem pole. But from there, we were like, okay, cool. You know, let's, you know, keep working, keep building up. We'll just kind of use this as a fun name, not take ourselves too seriously, but still have serious goals. So eventually, you know, we stayed in Sagan for a while. We kind of exhausted a lot of the content there. Our guys were getting a bit frustrated by being locked in due to sec status, since it's a low sec, end pocket. We decided, all right, we're going to move off a little bit, stay in low sec for a while, and look for some, you know, more content places where we can roam or where we can move into null sec as needed. So we had a good friend of ours from Deep Space Alliance invite us to go and live with them over in the, Gatamon Pananan area, over in Khorzor. And they were getting into a war with White Sky, partnering with Shoot First in that. So we decided, hey, you know, that seems like a good opportunity to get some fleet experience for our guys, actually kind of get involved in something that's a little bit more large scale, even if it's still, you know, low sec. And, kind of get some better experience while we work toward NullSec.
You know, yeah, you know, go ahead, Silver.
I was just going to say, stories like this warm my heart, right? Like, you guys have been making the progression through the game, trying different things, got your trial by fire, survived that, kept pushing forward. I mean, this is like a really good story. One question I had about the HiSec war, just to rewind a little bit, because we kind of skipped through a lot of the good stuff. That HiSec war deck, the guys who war decked you, did they just pick you randomly, or there was some beef there? Like, what tripped that off?
Yeah, so basically what happened there is they literally didn't like our name. That was the reason for it. And so, of course, when we, you know, created our alliance, we founded it based on Lockhart Trading Company, Blacklight Operations. We just meshed the two together and added Syndicate to the end of it because it sounded cool. I had done a search for, you know, alliances before. Beforehand, just making sure the name wasn't taken. It wasn't an alliance name that was taken. So I was like, oh, well, that's fine. That works. I got messages every once in a while afterward from the corporation, Blackheart Syndicate. And they were like, hey, we'd like you to change your name. And of course, I didn't really see that much of an issue with it since we were an alliance. They were a corporation. Mechanically, it's not too hard to confuse. But they were upset about it, and they stayed upset about it. So they eventually just war decked us and decided they were going to pursue us to the end of the earth if they had to. So that was that. That was actually the reason. It was literally a war over a name.
That's kind of what I was thinking, but I want to confirm that because, you know, reasons for attacking people in EVE are hysterical sometimes, and that one
absolutely
is a good one. I like that.
Yeah, I like that absolutely. Too, actually. I don't like your name. So we're going to go to war, right? Like, yeah, that's you know, name. I don't like the hat that you're wearing. let's go to war. Like, I love that kind of stuff, you know? Like, you have to create some sort of narrative, right? Like,
absolutely.
Go ahead.
Oh yeah, I talked to the alliance leader too that they were part of, and he was like, "Yeah, we need content, so it works."
Yep,
absolutely.
So this is a I love this story as well, because you're almost following the sort of story that I guess that CCP, but also that we had always envisioned, right? Like, this high sec corp kind of makes good, and is able to use the new kind of war deck mechanics changes that all of us had rallied for years. Right. And able to form something and be able to stick together. Right.
Absolutely.
One of the kind of bad things is if you want to do moon mining, then you have to have that holding corp. Right. And then that kind of opens you up for the war decks, but it does let you at least stick together, in your main corp, and you're not harassed, just kind of traveling around or something. So I'm kind of curious, what was the experience level with EVE-wise, kind of in general in your group?
Very widespread. As far as my corporation goes, early on, it was me, which I started out in 06. Not this character, different character. And then we had a good bit of people who were also older, probably from around that time period, a little bit later, maybe 2011. And then we had a pretty good chunk of people who were newer, started E within the last 2 years, I'd say. And I'd say our alliance is pretty, spread out like that as well. You still have a lot of people who are, they're experienced enough to the point where, and they're not interested in building something, so they're in NullSec. We have more of the experienced people here who want to build something, who want to be a part of something a little bit fresh. They are kind of sticking around, and they're a big part of our core player group. But they still want to go back to Null eventually, which is part of the drive for that as well.
So it's interesting because you've been playing for a long time. And have you just been able to avoid the kind of NullSec meta? You know what I mean? Have you just been able to kind of insulate yourself and you play your game, you have, with your friends, and all the NullSec nonsense you just stay out of, you don't care?
It varied a bit, actually. As far as my experience goes, I journeyed through different parts of EVE. I did stuff in low and in null and in high sec over the years. So I did a little bit of everything, even wormholes at the time. And four-man wormhole corpse back when that was, it still is a thing. Yeah, as far as the high sec stuff goes and the low sec, there's definitely no real insulation from it. Because at the end of the day, especially in low sec, what I've noticed is you have a lot of corporations, alliances, even individuals who take their null sec money and then, they pour it into a null sec, into a low sec account. And so then they're able to drop, dreads on people who don't have dreads, or, super capitals on people who don't have supers. And so there's no real insulation from it in a lot of ways. We don't have to deal with bubbles. It's you still have a lot of the issues that come with it.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So you were kind of pushed into low sec, right? And is that kind of where you're living now? You're in low sec.
Yes.
And you have aspirations to null sec. So give me an idea of what you mean by we want to live in null sec. What does that mean to you?
We're definitely interested in the Sov gameplay. Not necessarily, the way that Sov works right now. We're just interested in, the way that we're interested in taking Sov for ourselves eventually, working with a coalition to make that happen. We still see that as, a little ways out. We're not quite ready yet. We do have the downside of not making NullSec ISK, but eventually, the idea is that we're going to be going up against people who make NullSec ISK. So it's definitely going to have an effect in the future, and it affects how we're going to go about it. But we'd like to, eventually go take Sov Null, and that's just because that's part of the game a lot of our guys want to try. We have a lot of industry people who are wanting to try to, take on the bigger cap building and stuff like that. That's something they've always wanted to do. Some of them have done it in the past. They'd like to do it again. And we have PvPers who want to get involved in the, the capital and super capital battles.
That's funny. I feel like I'm talking to myself from 2 years ago. I totally get the motivation for that, because, part of the beauty of EVE is that it's a sandbox and you can go around and do what you want. But sometimes you suffer under that own beauty because you kind of roam around, you kill that group, you kill this group, but then you wind up asking yourself, what is all this for? Right? What am I doing? And that sort of goal of null sav gives you a purpose, right? Like, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to fight for this space, I'm going to plant my flag on it. And that gives you the motivation and your guys a narrative and a goal-based oriented, you know, plan, right? So it's a very good motivator to when you're fresh into it. Is that how this is feeling for you? This is how we're going to make our guys feel like they're fighting for a goal?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, you know, we want to get into the empire building side of EVE. You know, I'm not expecting us to necessarily end up like any of the, you know, major alliances or coalitions. We might, you know, you never know. But that's still something we want to get our hands with.
I think that's great, man.
So one thing that what you were saying, you described two very different paths. Yeah. Well, not very different, but two different paths. So the first path is I want, you know, my group to go into NullSec, to get involved in SOV, to fight, et cetera, right? You're a strong independent alliance and you don't need no coalition, right? Like, you're just making friends or enemies or whoever lives around you, that kind of thing.
Sure.
So there's that path. And then the second path is the coalition path, right? And that's where, you know, you kind of go out and you're doing your thing or whatever, or you just start talking to coalitions now, right? And you just kind of join that.
And or you form your own and then take it that way.
Dude, I love that. Yeah, no. I mean, we love that stuff. Like, do it. Like, kill us all. You know, we need that. We more superpowers, man. Do it, brother. You know? So there's those kind of different paths, right? I think, you know, that I would tell you to not go the second path, right? And I'm not saying forever, but I'm saying immediately I wouldn't go the second path. And the reason for that is if your guys, you know, are not that experienced with PvP or with, you know, CTAs or fleets or comps or doctrines or any of those kind of things, if you get thrown into, or if you jump into a coalition, all of those things are immediately required, right? Yeah. But on the same token, everything else is much easier, right? It's very simple in that sense, right? Because you're going to immediately have safe zones and, you know, all you have to do is follow the rules and you're part of a, you know, a city now and you're kind of able to do that. But, you know, I've seen groups before that haven't made that transition from, you know, like a high sec, low sec to a null sec entity, move immediately into like that coalition space, and it damages the man. It's weird. It's almost like thinking about like training a horse, you know. And it's like you do laps with the horse to train the horse. You know, you don't immediately send him into the barn, right? Like,
there's a couple of things like that too, Ron. Right? Because we live this, right? And if you do it the first path, like Ron is saying, you kind of burn your identity in first. Right? It's easy for a small alliance like yourself or myself to get lost and consumed into a coalition, and then you have no identity anymore. And then that starts to make it hard to recruit, because why join you over another corp in that coalition or another alliance in that coalition? So doing what you're doing, getting out there and forging yourself and planting your flag first, and then getting the attention of a coalition and joining them as a recruit or a valued resource to said coalition is a better path. I think pretty much what Ron was going with that, right?
Yeah, you know, and Hiram in chat actually is, you know, kind of bringing up a third path. And this is like a divisive path, which is doing rental, right? Rental is so, I don't know, man. You know, you rarely see like super success stories from renting. You rarely see that. You know, we have a really interesting success story, like, you know, AARP, right? Like these guys were like renters, but then all of a sudden they have doctrines and they're like coming to fleets and they're like showing up with like great mounts and they're defending themselves. Like it's pretty crazy. And now, you know, now they're part of legacy, right? So I think, you know, so there are these three paths. And, you know, what I would say is, you know, like what Silver was saying about burning in your identity and kind of getting that cohesion. And, you know, to be honest, like, you know, like take advantage of not having everything, you know, it's like that, you know, the best days are like when you start your business or whatever, and everything's like a struggle, because, you know, when you go into like the coalition world, it's very, it's easy life, comparatively speaking, you know what I mean? Sure. So it's a lot of different options, but so of those kind of three paths, right? Or, you know, describing another path or whatever. So like, which way are you thinking about going?
We would definitely go with the first, you know, and then along with that, you know, possibly forming our own coalition as well. We already have to some degree, and that's what we're looking at. You know, we partner very closely with Deep Space Alliance. And you know, we're looking at doing stuff together long term. So yeah, we're definitely more interested in forging our own identity, really solidifying that, and then going forward. We definitely don't want to lose that. Yeah, joining coalition or even renting, you know, it is a lot easier. You do have access to more of that content very, very quickly. But we're not really, we want to try something different.
I love it, man. I love it. I think it's great. You know, I don't know if you've looked at a map recently, but you know, I got a couple of friends. You know, there's some you know, open space.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We've looked at it.
You know, it rhymes with Ralding Rass. So
yeah, we've definitely looked around. You know, we've looked at our options. The main reason that we haven't stepped, you know, into NullSec now, even as a small alliance, is that, again, you know, our guys, most of them don't have old money, you know, or at the very least, you know, I don't want to say, we don't have like, you know, where we built up years and years and years as an alliance of NullSec or even wormhole money. You know, to then go and drop into a NullSec, you know, situation and survive right away. But that's what we're going up against if we do that.
I would, you know, suggest to you that you're going to be more formidable than you think. You know, you don't really need trillions of ISK to assault an area of NullSec. You pick an area that seems to have a group more or less your size or maybe a little bigger. And you, I would not sell yourself short. You're ready sooner than you think.
I appreciate that. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, numbers, right? Like how many... so let's say, like as an example, you have, you know, like a CTA or you have an all hands on deck tomorrow. Could you get like more than 50 people?
Yeah, very possibly, yeah.
I mean, that's...
that's good, man.
That's just, yeah. You know, in the, yeah, in the game that you want to play in... That's as big as you'll need to be. Yep.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
I would also tell you that if you think you need capitals to take Sov, you do not most of the time.
Okay. Yeah.
No, you win Sov by focusing on those timers and you take down their iHubs. As soon as you take down their iHub, it doesn't matter if they're the keep star in the system. The system becomes useless to them because they can't crab, they can't mine, you know. So you don't necessarily need a capital force to take Sov.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's, you know, the first thing that I would tell you is, you know, like what kind of doctrines can your guys get into, right? And start to think about that now. Munins. And then when you can get all of it, when you can get your boys into Munins, and you have, you know, a great comp, right? Let's say you do 40 Munins and 10 Logi, right?
Sure.
Like
that's strong.
It's very strong.
That's strong.
Absolutely.
That's something that like FedUp would fear. If you came into our space with like, you know, 30 munins, 10 Logi and some tackle, I'd be like, oh shit.
Right.
Game on. Yeah. Absolutely. And you know, there's a lot of us. And when I say us, like, kind of like big, NullSec, entities that really want to, number one, not farm you, right? We don't want that because we've been farmed and we don't like that. So, but we also like take an interest in like you growing into your own thing. You know what I mean? And, so one thing that, you know, we kind of, you know, enjoy is if you're near us, right, and people do come to farm you, then we, you know, can get involved, right? So it's like, and it's not bait. And I know that everyone always says it's not bait, but like, and it's not even, and it's not like blue or standings or anything, but it's just. Driving
is sort of like an incubator, right, Ron?
Oh, yeah.
You want to incubate these guys because the bigger that they grow, the stronger they grow, the more content for us, right? And everyone else around.
That's the thing. You've got that. I think that if anyone is actually like legitimately concerned for the long-term health of the game, you have to let groups grow to some degree. You know, if you just crush small guys, people who are smaller than you all the time and never give them a chance, you know, you're just going to wear out your member base, like the member base of the game eventually.
Yeah. There's a particular alliance that may have learned that lesson. Rhymes with rough.
Sure.
Oh, I forget the name, but I think it rhymes with rough drought. Yeah. So. You know, it's honestly, man, like it's been a roller coaster for us personally, you know. And I remember, you know, back years ago when we were, you know, being farmed and it was just like, oh man, you know, someday, man, if we ever get strong enough, you know, we're going to prevent this.
Right.
Well, you know, now's the time, right? Like, so, you know, just north of us, we kind of want that like little Petri dish, right? Of little small groups and just kind of doing their thing or whatever. And, you know, fighting or whatever, taking SOV and doing, you know, kind of organically growing into, you know, whatever they want to be, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, now obviously not talking about wormhole or money. You know, this isn't like the Kardashians. Jesus Christ, with those guys, with the the four guys being holding down a system and ratting in dreads. Come on, man. This is that's out of control. So, but let's talk normal. Like, when you're talking about like NullSec money, and I always hear that a lot. But like, give me an idea of I don't know. So Silver, what would be like a good what would be like a good gauge, like total value? Like if you did like EVE assets, right, on your one of like an average member, like what would that total be for them?
An average member, if you looked at their total worth asset window there?
Yeah, total worth. Yeah. You think that's like a good kind of judge, or is it like how much do they make ratting a week? Like what's kind of a good judge of monetary wealth or something?
I would say, like, looking at my own alliance, which is probably similar in his size, my average line member probably has a hanger or a net worth of 5 to 10 bill, making, you know, on the high end carrier level ratting ticks of like, you know, 40 mil a tick, you know, maybe 180 mil an hour, 100 mil an hour. You know, we're not talking like everyone is super rich.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
If you got a hanger that's 10 bill, you're doing well. You know, you get that means you probably have capital or two. You got some T3 doctrines, T2 doctrines, and some tackle in your hangar, and you're good to go, bro.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I agree.
So then, in comparison to those numbers, like what would you say your average kind of wealth on a player is? And like, what do they do for ISK, like week to week or whatever?
Absolutely. I would say that our more experienced players are getting into abyssals and incursions. You know, and I think you can kind of make a good judge of probably how much ISK, as long as they hold on to it and save it, you know, a lot of that's worth. Incursions, depending on how fast you run them, can definitely, you know, can equal or exceed some NullSec gains. and
abyssals. Do you mean Sancha incursions, or are you doing
Sancha incursions?
Okay.
We have been getting into invasions as well, but we are getting into them a little bit slowly. They are a priority for us though right now.
Well, I'll tell you what, the abyssal stuff is where it's at right now. I mean, absolutely. With the announcement of the new Trig Dread, which is going to take a lot of that material, a lot of that stuff has gone through the roof, you know, so.
Yep, absolutely.
Don't even get me started. Don't even get me started.
About Ron, that. I saw you running abyssal sites on stream.
Dude, don't get me started. The abyssals owe me $8 billion this week. That's just getting started, all right? $8 billion this week, all right? So don't... high sec lottery ticket crap, like, oh my god. All right, but yeah, so I mean, you know, with Roracle Miner you're making like 100 mil an hour, right? And you know, with abyssals you're making 100-150, maybe 200 ish tops for a couple of hours, right?
Sure. Yeah.
You know, carrier ratting about 120 130 an hour, right?
Absolutely.
You know, supers 200, right?
Yeah,
and Titans like 300, right? Right around in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so then would you say like your average sort of line member value or kind of total worth would be between like 5 and 10 billion and doing that kind of stuff?
I think that if everyone was doing that kind of stuff, sure. But I would say we still have a lot of newer players who are still getting their skills up, you know, who don't necessarily enjoy all of that kind of content. So they may prefer industry, or they may, you know, prefer exploration. Their risk per hour is going to vary. It's going to be, you know, lower in some cases. You know, so I would say it varies a lot. And then really, depending on how much time you put into PvP, that's going to drop a lot, just depending on what you're doing.
Yeah, but you know what? You just hit a point, man. Exploration, right? So if you get, you know, some structures out there, if you take some solve or something, you have an entirely new base to explore, right? And the exploration, like everybody does that, dude. Like everybody is, you know, scanning down the sites. Like everybody's doing
good
that.
Money.
Yeah, absolutely. It is.
It's good money, and I find it to be relaxing. You know, maybe late night by myself, I just shoot out there in my Estero, and I love running from bubble camps is my favorite thing to do, giving the hunters the slip, because an Estero is an especially hard ship to catch, but that's good.
I explored on stream one day for like an hour and a half, and it was just trying to figure out how to divide up that 13 million that I made. So I don't know any damn thing about exploration except, you know, you go around and scan crap down. So, but everyone's doing it, man. Like everyone does it. So, you know, the interesting thing is if you go out there, all of that space, you can just go exploring in everybody's space and just take all their stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, one of the most interesting things we've run into in low sec has been the logistics of kind of holding, I don't want to say necessarily holding space, but you know, holding and defending wherever we're living. And especially because the ISK making, unless you're doing abyssals, is anywhere else almost. You know, and that makes it very, very difficult to, you know, set up guarded mining ops or to set up you know, PvP ops, especially whenever you're losing sec status in low sec. Big impact on that, on how you can make money in high sec, doing invasions, incursions, something like that. So, you know, and then of course you never know. Your members might be on the other side of Eve doing an incursion, you know, over there, because that's where it ended up, especially, you know, after the changes with evasions. They may not be able to make it back for a CTA or, you know, whenever something's tackled. You just never know. Definitely a big impact on how things work in low sec.
Yeah.
So Silver, I don't know what like your experience is with incursions, but like I would cut that crap off, dude. Like,
so
incursions like are weird, man. And it breeds a weird kind of player, man. That's super, super into the ISK efficiency, and it's just I don't know. Like they're not wormholers, they're not like that bad, but like they're at the same party. You know what I mean? They're like next to each other.
If they're purely dedicated to it, for sure. But yeah, the way that we've always
dedicated,
the way we've always pushed for it in our corporation is, hey, this is something that you can get into as long as you have the time to sit in queue for a while. You know, it makes good ISK, you know, and you can go put that toward PvP, you know. And so that's actually how we've always pushed it. So pretty much all of the incursion runners we have are not 100% dedicated incursion runners to where that's just what they do. You know, they're doing that to where they have ISK to put into other things.
Yeah. I would just say you're going to reach the point where you're going to get into null, where you're going to need all your boys 100% focused on ADMs, extracting the resources out of your systems, being ready to defend, and having people off in incursions when you need that is going to strain you a little bit. So you got to strike that balance kind of early. And I would also give you the advice that, yeah, I know what it's like to not to see Juicy Moon and know you need to mine it, but people are hunting you. You'd be surprised what one porpoise and a couple of T1 barges could do. You don't need to go expensive. You don't need the Roracle. You don't need an Orca. You know, keep it simple, keep it cheap, and you'll come out ahead.
Yep. And that's what we've done. That's what we pushed for as well as, you know, especially in low security situations, you know, bring out cheap stuff, because if it does die, you haven't lost really much at all compared to what you're making in the meantime.
Yeah. Just kind of part of business. Losses will happen. If it's a porpoise, no big deal. Buy another one out of the profits we made that night.
Yep. Absolutely. Now that said, you know, with regard to, you know, the incursions, with regard to, you know, what you're talking about with once you get to know, you need all hands on deck. I completely agree. But in NullSec, you can do that way more easily. You know, in NullSec, you can have everybody in one system, 1 to 3 systems away, you know, even 5 systems away, and they can burn back or clone jump real quickly whenever it's needed. In LowSec, you don't have nearly as many in-system ISK-making faucets.
Well, that's absolutely true.
Yeah,
that's totally one of the problems with LowSec. There's definitely an income ceiling to LowSec.
And it's very low compared to a lot of other stuff.
Trust me, that's where we wound up. You know, there's a certain sustainability that it'll hold, and then you kind of have to move on from there. I get it.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, it's an interesting crossroads, right? Like, it's an interesting crossroads. I remember, you know, now the snuffed out menace has left or whatever, but, you know, would you say that really the pressure, you know, quote pressure, of like going into NullSec is all internal of you guys just wanting to explore more rather than you guys getting pushed out?
Depends on what you mean by pushed. Like what do you mean whenever you say that?
Well, like, are you being forced out, right? Like,
are you somebody being evicted? Shoving you out of where you're living now?
Okay. Yeah. No. Yeah. We're not dealing with that really at all.
See, that's just an indicator of the health of the game. Like, in my eyes, like, that's an indicator of health, right? So that, like, these guys want to go into NullSec and get in the NullSec game because they want to, right? Because they want to grow, because they want to do something different rather than, they just got their asses kicked and they're like hobos, you know, with the sticks, with the like napkins on it, you know? Looking for a place to live, right? Like, I think that's a good sign for me. I mean, I think that's just a great sign.
I agree. You know, and that's definitely where we want to push toward. You know, it's definitely a process getting there. It's a process making sure that we are fairly optimized to get there. And that's definitely taking time to work out. But this has been a great place so far, you know, where we are now to get content. We've had, you know, a few really good fights, more coming up. With White Sky and friends of theirs, and so we're looking forward to it. We're enjoying it.
Right on. So, do you have anything for our boy Martin here?
No, man. Soldier forth. You know, reach out to us if you need advice or help of any kind. This is what more. Wish more groups would have the same attitude you guys would, and just sally forth and try stuff. And if you fail, you fail. You go try something else. That's what Eve's about. Good job.
I will definitely. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, ping Legacy Diplos, man, if you want, like, pointed into a direction, you know, not for, like, blue standings or any of that silliness, but, like, just, like, hey, like, we want to take some space, where would you recommend? And they can at least, you know, give you an idea of, you know, hey, this is who's living there now and that kind of thing. And you know, maybe give you some pointers in that way.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Cool. All right, man. All right. So news. So the big news today, right? Like, is the MER, right? Like, that's you know, that's like the damn income tax records coming out, man. I mean, I'm proud to see our boys and girls coming back, man. No more war. And, you know, mining's up to $2.2 trillion. What's up, player? Nice to see you. Number two spot. Glad you kept it warm for us, right? Back in. Climbing and climbing. I'm really happy to see that. You know, and I also saw, you know, Tenerifus was like the second in our exports. But from my understanding of that, that's just like stuff leaving, right? And Tenerifus is where we had, you know, our super fleet, right, for a while. So moving from Tenerifus to Dederid, I think, you know, probably sparked a lot of that when we got QOPX.
Yeah. That's interesting. I didn't think of that, Ron. But, yeah, definitely probably had an impact on that number.
Mm-hmm. And how big is our super fleet? It's like that big on that that graph.
You mean when I stuck in my one super and I was like, oh, damn. Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, I noticed that. And, you know, the other thing that I noticed was like NPC bounties, man. Like that's out of control, man. Like Outer Passage is number two. Like there's. You know, Delve, and then there's Outer Passage. Like, dude, you know, Winterco just moved there. Like, I don't know, man. Like, that's just out of control. So, you know, whatever. And we're number three, I think. But then we were, you know, kind of talking, you know, sort of in the back channels earlier, and Blue Loot, right, from Wormholes is like 14 trillion. Like 14 trillion, right? I mean, these wormholers, man, you got to get them under control. For real. For real. That's the real menace. That's the real menace. And that's so, and then if you take that, right, 14 trillion, that is equal to the top five regions in NullSec all combined, right? Like they're running rampant. They're running rampant like they own the place. Damn wormholers, man. you know, so I know that they're going to talk more about the MER on Sunday. Those are just like my initial like kind of takeaways when I first saw it. And then did you see the news about Snigwafa today?
I did just catch a little bit of that. And my first reaction was, what?
Right? Yeah, it's strange, man. Like,
What's going on there, Ron?
Well, I mean, dude, all I've heard is they're moving to Horde as a SIG. Like, it's just, I don't know, man. It's just strange to me because, like, if anyone says old guard, like Snigwaf, right? Like, that's old guard.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, these guys, like... You know, you got to be there for 3 years before you're allowed to talk on comms. That kind of group, right? Like, so it's strange to me that that they would go. But I think it's also kind of interesting because rather than kind of stick with this sort of old methodology or just like getting old and dying, you know, like they're just trying new things and they're going to go and have some fun and you know, kind of be like a you know, like a hammer, right, for Horde. And I think that's interesting. I think that's kind of cool. If they have, you know, like Horde, the mass that is Horde kind of backing them up, that allows them a lot of freedom in going out and doing kind of interesting things and kind of assisting and disrupting. So I think it's kind of cool. I think it's interesting and neat.
It is cool, but it also is concerning me of that groups like that have to like go that way because it's sort of eroding. Yeah, I could go on for a little while about it, but I won't. Eroding at the middle class of Eve, as I call it, right? Like, you know, these guys are the ones that people used to strive to build kill boards to get into so that they could go into PL or wherever from there, right? And that flow has broken down a bit, and now they have to go this way. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying it's more of the sign of the shifting meta of EVE away from, you know, that sort of got to cut your teeth to develop a reputation and be that guy before you get to the next level. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's I would say that the other side of that argument would be like, what kind of game could keep a healthy middle class after, you know, 15 years? You know what I mean? Like,
no, I totally
like, what are you going to do? You're going to keep a brother down forever kind of thing? You know, it's like, you know, what about the new bro super pilots? You know, think of the children.
I feel you, man. It's valid. Like I said, I don't think it's good or bad. I think it's probably a good move for them, like you said. Now they can, be that sort of special interest group that goes in, you know, is the feared group from Horde or whatever. I think it's a good look for them. It's just very interesting. Dude,
that's how TESS started, right? Like back in the day, man, we were the Goonhammer, like in 2010, 2011, man. That's all we did. So it's interesting. I think it's, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, and you know, the other thing is like, the old guard kind of dissolving or going on a separate path opens up, you know, that sort of middle class, like sort of space for new groups, right? You know, like Martin, right? Like it's just like they go in and they fill out, you know, areas and roles and things, and they don't have that sort of that baggage, right? Of like, this is how we used to be. Like, no, they're going to create an entirely new path, right? And they won't have that kind of bitter vet syndrome, right?
Yeah, as long as the bitter vets don't be bitter vets and go and smash them in the face and roll them out, you know.
That's
let
great.
Them let them grow a little bit, you know. go teach them a lesson, go make it hard for them once in a while. Don't get me wrong, can't be easy street, but you can't flush them out either. That's not really healthy.
Yeah, I love to drop on bitter vets. That's just how I roll. Right. You know,
Ronzi White,
I'm a simple man. I like lollipops in my mouth and I like dropping supers on bitter vets. That's just me, though.
Bad guys. Right?
You know, the other thing is, you know, speaking of like old guard, man, Waffles. Right. So like Waffles is, you know, closing down or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of this stuff going on, man, like a lot of shifting around of old guard groups, like you said, and reorganizing and finding different ways. And I'm hoping, like you said, Ron, that this is sort of the natural life cycle of old guard groups, and that the players will go and find new pastures, and that the spots that they leave open will be filled by new hungry groups that aren't bitter vets. I that would be the hope, right?
Yeah. And you know, the thing I was, and I guess I'm always positive or whatever, but like the other thing that I like is, I mean, to be realistic, right? The chance that a new player right now will get in the upper leadership is very, very small. It's very small because that upper leadership is really a trusted kind of grandfathered role that you get into, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, Joe Hisek that joins, you know, whatever group, like, yeah, he, you better be happy where you're at. Because unless you submit your entire life of 16 hours a day and are able to just be, you know, Johnny on the spot for everything, it's going to be very difficult to kind of grandfather your way up that leadership. So what I mean is that there's a lot of groups that are starting out now. And a lot of the players can kind of get in on the ground floor. You know what I mean? Like we had this great FC. Oh man, I forget his name, dude. He was such a cool guy. He was a great FC. But like his problem with Test was it wasn't. We were past the struggle years. You know what I mean? And like he wanted to struggle a little bit more. You know, he wanted it to be a little bit harder. You know, and I had those years and I'm good. Like, yeah, you can keep all the damn struggle years, man. I'm good. So And he was great. His name started with a T. He was awesome. And he joined Skill U, right? No hate. It's all good, you know, because he did want like that sort of struggle and he wanted that sort of starting to form thing. And, you know, when these guys, when like Snuffed Out dissolved and these other guys and Skill U dissolved and all these guys, all these sort of, you know, old guard groups, you know, leave, it makes me think of guys like him. I keep thinking of Temenogen, but that's not it. That's Genghis Khan's name. But like, I keep thinking of guys like that, that want to get in on the ground floor and want to help create something and be, you know, a part of, you know, building something, you know? And I think that is super cool, man. Like I'm really happy that there's that sort of opportunity coming. I don't want to be on that. I'm already done and I'm good, but good luck. Enjoy, right?
Do it. Just do it, right? Nike. We're allowed right to endorse on. Nike on the show, but just do it. Just get out there. Nike,
just
don't,
do
don't,
it.
Don't worry about your wallet or your coffers or if you have 50 supers. Just do it. You know, you'd be surprised what you can do with a dedicated group of guys who could fly a doctrine and just get it done.
Yeah, dude. Like, you get 50 people to show up, dude. Like, 40 Munins, like 10 Lodgy. You know, that'd be killer, man. It'd be rough. It'd be rough to deal with, right? All right. So, Martin, do you have anything you want to close? Pretty much just last couple of things, which are so on the Sunday Talking in Station show, there's going to be 4 CCP devs on: CCP Spider, CCP Wonder Boy, CCP, and then CCP Cake Machine.
Yeah.
So they're gonna have that, and I'm sure they're also gonna be talking about the Myrrh more. Might have Nosy on there and that kind of stuff. And then the other thing is on Saturday, the 9th of November, they have the Eve Aether Wars Phase 3. So sign up for that. And also, did you see, you know, on mobile, you can sign up for it now as well, or you can sign up for the beta. So it's, you can do that through the Google Play Store, like notify me of when it's ready.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, definitely check out Aether Wars. That's really neat technology, even outside of Eve, you know, what that company is doing with, cloud computing and stuff like that is fascinating. So check it out.
Yeah, Adium Project.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So last week we forgot, but this week we're going to do it, even though I can't think of anything right now. This is the things you may not know, right? Martin, if you haven't seen this before, so what we want to do is just try to think of one thing that's kind of odd or different or whatever about Eve in general or whatever that other people might not know, right?
So, might be about your group or a lore or a mechanic, yeah. Anything like that.
So, Silver, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, sure. I thought you might get back to this, and I won't claim credit for this. I saw this on one of my favorite streamers, Matt Hirschman. I don't know if anybody of you guys know that. You should definitely check him out. He's a great solo PvP player from way back in the day. He took some years off and is back. But he discovered that if you do a D-scan, I believe it was Matt Hirschman that did this, or it might have been Bjorn. I can't remember. But on your D-scan, when you open up the D-scan window and you got your green orb, right? And it shows you ships that are there. It flashes the hologram of those ships next to the D-scan, which I thought was pretty neat. So like if you're on scan as a nightmare, you'll see a holographic vision of a nightmare next to your D-scan window. I thought that was fairly neat. I don't know when they put that in the game, but it must have been recently because I never seen it before.
Martin, do you have something that we might not know?
I think it's pretty public knowledge at this point because it was talked about at Eve North, but not everyone pays attention to those. So, at one point, there was a massive NPC battle that no one else was involved in. Ammar mining ships spawned, and Blood Raider mining ships spawned in the same asteroid belt. Because their standings were negative, they started engaging each other, kept calling for reinforcements, and that kept going and going, and then a random drifter battleship landed on grid and killed everything.
That's pretty drifter, right?
Yeah. I was in Toronto when they talked about that. That was pretty neat.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, I love the new AI that they've been doing with that kind of stuff. It's definitely a step up from, you know, I mean, it's still Eve AI, but it's still a step up from how it used to be.
So for my something you might not know, two things. One, Dreddit has deployed for fun to Faction Warfare space, and I tried Faction Warfare, and it's pretty ridiculous, to be honest. That's just me. Personal opinion.
You on stream. It was interesting.
That's just me. Personal opinion. But I'm really glad, because like hearing everyone talk about like the gate sliding, right? I'm really glad that I got to experience like how silly that is, right? Like it's just stupid. Like, like
I saw you flying a comet.
Yeah. And then landing on the Plex, the beacon, and then just getting scrammed by the assault frigate and killed. Awesome. That's great. Riveting. Can't wait to go back. I'm excited. Yeah. Closed the client. Adios, muchachos. Right? Like, come on. Come on, man. Like, it's just, and they're like yelling, undock. Yeah, here. Close the client. Yeah, I'm out. It's so stupid.
So something you may not know, Ron hates Faction Warfare.
Well, like I love
the balance, Ron.
Well, like I you know, a couple of things came out from it, man, which was one, like I have empathy for people who stream it now. Like for Joe and all these guys and Jebby, and like it is rough, man. Like it is rough. Like these elite, you know, low sec warriors, you know, that are cleaning the systems of the null sec scum or whatever, like sitting on the Plex, like, you know, and I don't even want to, dude, I can't even start to talk about Lucifer, because then I'm just going to freak out and I'm just going to laugh. So I got to stop that. But the second thing, the second part of the thing that you might not know is you guys fed up, deployed to Pravi, right? To fight Pravi. And it's kind of interesting because you guys are like kind of the same size ish, right?
Yes. And at least in the US time zone, we're very similar sizes. Yes. Which is why we did it, right? We're just looking for a group that's similar size to us to mess with. And Pravi is almost a very good matchup for us in the US time zone. What we did forget to account for is that they're much bigger in the EU time zone. And they came over and smacked us in the face the other day, which is very, very good of them to do.
That's awesome, dude.
It's been good and a lot of fun on both sides and a lot of healthy drama with the politics, because, you know, Legacy and Pravi are typically sort of friendly. And they're already embattled with a group with a fight with Wrecking Crew. And, you know, they're getting dogpiled on a little bit, but at least in the U.S. time zone, we saw an opportunity where they had a little bit of a lull. We were an appropriate size, and we've had some good, entertaining conflicts.
That's cool, man. And, you know, you could always, like, you know, something to keep in the back pocket is you could always just order 66, like, right in the middle of some big fight, you know, because Tickle just left Legacy, right? So Tickle's over there fighting them, and just, like, right in the middle of some big, huge fight, order 66 and just be on Pravi side and then just massacre Tickle. I think that'd be hilarious.
May or may not happen. I don't know.
I think it's fun, man. And, you know, I think it's great too. Like you size appropriate, you know, fights and getting back into some of your roots and stuff. I think that's awesome, man.
Yeah. We're a PvP group that craves goal-based objectives. So go right get on. Those guys is what we like.
Right on. All right. So about to wrap it up. So Martin, do you have any shout outs, buddy?
No, not off the top of my head.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just fine. Well, sorry. I just.
No, you're fine. You're fine. You're fine.
Yeah.
Silver, you got any shout outs, buddy?
Just to all those guys out there taking a look into the next step. There's gaps opening. Low sec should become less oppressive. There are definitely places to go for a null sec. You know, take that extra step, guys. If you're thinking about it, just do it. You don't need 10 trillion-ness. You don't need 40 supers. You just need a bunch of guys that are willing to go.
I completely agree. And like, you know, reaching out to, you know, like big diplos and just saying, you know, yo, we're here, we're just going to do this. Like, you know, can you give us any pointers about who to stay away from or whatever? Like, that doesn't mean you're a pet. It doesn't mean you're going to get standings. It just
means that stuff. Exactly.
Yeah. Like that's just Reddit. Like that's the same dudes that are camping the Plex in a super, right? Or at an assault frigate or whatever, and killing little T1 frigates and then beating their chest. Like that's those guys. They're lame.
Yeah. And if I can add to that, you know,
go ahead.
You know, low sec really is, I know I talked about the struggles of it. It is very difficult to manage, but low sec's a great place to be right now. There is a lot of open area. There's a lot of stuff to do. You do have some bigger groups that'll, you know, come and drop on small groups sometimes, but that doesn't mean you have to anchor, you know, big structures or anything in low. You can just go and do whatever, live out an NPC station. It's definitely a lot of fun. We've been enjoying it. And of course, you know, we're always looking for more people, more corporations to come join us and try that out.
Yeah. How do they get in touch with you? Like, do you have a recruitment link or something you put in chat or something?
Honestly, the best way would just be to contact Martin Lockhart in game or Ragnar Ricci. I'll post both of those in the stream chat.
Perfect. Yeah, if you could just put their like spelling in there. Awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, that's all I had. So, Silver Engineer Extraordinaire, you ready to cut it up?
I am, sir.
All right, guys. Thanks for watching, and we will see you next time.